Hey, everybody, welcome to the Football 360 Show, the fastest hour football talk on the planet, coming at you live on X and YouTube. I am JP Rock. He is Matt Bierman. How are you doing today, Matt?
Doing wonderful.
It is Tuesday, the 27th. It is kickoff week, right? I guess you could call it that. Is everybody else calling it kickoff week?
We are.
We are. We stole we that are. Trademark.
Yep.
We've trademarked that. And if I could have a little heat in my... McCann, thank you. I appreciate that. And so we can go ahead and steal that, but it is kickoff week. I mean, it's finally here, you know. It seems like, well, we were just talking, we're coming up on a year.
Exactly. We started last year, week one.
I think it went week two. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Yep,
jumped in there a bit, but I mean, man, summer's going by faster and faster and faster. Although football never stops. It's a year-round sport, and we've talked about that a lot.
Yep.
And man, it's finally here, finally upon us. Thursday night. High school kicks off, and I mean, college football kicked off last week. Did you get a chance to watch any of that?
I did. I got to watch a little bit of Florida State. A debacle for them, and a rising for Georgia Tech, which I thought was really cool to see. It's amazing. The game that we're watching in college is so different because of the transfer portal and then the extensions with getting and bringing new coaches in and paying these guys. I mean, it can change. And so, like, you look at, in a heartbeat, a program can become relevant, right?
Oh.
And that's not to say Florida State's not a really good program, but they got outplayed, and they just didn't execute. They scored early, and then they just kind of fell off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Florida State's pretty much living off of them. I know they had that really good quarterback who, like, you know, elevated them back up a little bit. But,
yep.
I mean, think about what Florida State used to be, the Bobby Bowden, you know, era. I mean, they were like untouchable. You know,
yes.
there was Florida State, there was Notre Dame, and there was Miami.
And that was it.
And then in the Midwest, of course, we had Oklahoma, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And that was college football. So I know people are like, oh, well, there's these big teams that, but man, it's always kind of been like that, right?
Oh yeah, most definitely. But
you're right. Now with the transfer portal,
people can change, right? Quickly.
Yeah. And the whole game's changed, and you have the NLI, and it's becoming more of a professional sport, and transfer portal, and guys getting paid to go places.
So I was talking to someone about Mizzou, Murray State, and I don't know the exact number, but I believe Murray State has 50 new players on their roster. That's half.
Right.
Approximately half of their roster is new, and a new coaching staff. So if you're Missouri, how do you prepare for that?
Well.
Like, I mean.
Yeah.
You out-athlete them, but at the end of the day, there's, you know, part of the week leading up.
Yeah. You learn on the fly.
Your coordinators have to be pretty good and pick up what
Correct.
They're doing. And, you know, I think, you know, Mizzou's obviously up for the task, but that is a slight advantage to the team that, you know, I mean, they can go back and look at Mizzou's film from last year. Personnel is fairly similar, offensively, defensively, new D coordinator. But, they're going to have wrinkles. But, yeah, I mean, you can go back. A lot of coaches are creatures of habit, right? They like to run what they like to run. So it'll be fun to see. It'd be good to watch them get back on there. And then Lindenwood has Kansas on Thursday as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun and really good. Lindenwood's going to be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. We might not talk about them as much. We might talk about Missoula a bit more. But, man, you got to love what's going on at Lindenwood with the players that they have. And I'm sure you saw Pop's Battle, you know, doing his thing with Lindenwood and just the talent that they're bringing in.
Yeah. They're going to be definitely a force to, you know, reckon with. And then speaking of FCS schools, you have SEMO in the FCS kickoff against
Peyton
North
Brown.
Alabama, and a guy we talked about numerous times. I mean, too many times. And it's one of those things where you're like, okay, so when you see a guy walk into a team essentially, you know, early, he graduated high school early.
Yep.
He's down there in the spring. We're hearing really good things, which we've talked about. And he gets into his first collegiate game, scores 3 touchdowns. As a true freshman, you know, no disrespect to SEMO, they got a steal with him, which we talked about.
For a while.
Right?
They're actually borrowing him.
Yeah, they probably are borrowing him. But it's one of those things where, like, if you think you are that guy and then you go do that, you are that guy.
Yep.
And then, you know, I mean, I sent his dad a picture, you know, during right after the game ended. I got a a text from a scout, and he's like, look at this, and like kind of smiley face, and I'm like, yeah. And so it begins. So it begins. Yeah. The journey begins, right? And so he's just getting used to college football. But he's a remarkable athlete. He's a hard worker. He's earned everything he's got, right? He didn't play in the biggest high school, but he put on the really good results in big games against good teams, and helped guide his team to the second place in, you know, Missouri last year. What was it, 4A? They're 4A. Yeah. So, and then, you know, he's got his brother who's going to North Dakota State.
I'm telling you
what. That's another steal.
That's not a done deal yet. But I'm telling you what, if I am a D1 school, power conference, I look at what happened here with Peyton, and then I look at Preston, mm-hmm. and I'm like, results.
They both, are extremely good athletes, extremely good.
And what's fascinating about that? Well, what's fascinating about as good of an athlete as Peyton is, Preston's even better.
Yes, correct.
So
the one thing that used to always get me though about with Peyton. Was as big as he is, so we do one-on-ones, like we're out running in the facility. He was doing running back and linebacker, but he'd get over in that receiver line, and you would not know he wasn't a receiver. I mean, he is full speed. The only thing I'd get worried with him is like, hey, there's walls on the left, and then at the end of the building, right?
Yeah.
And he's like a bull in a china shop. Like, he's going to catch the football, right. Like whether he runs into something or not. So, just good to see. And, it was a shame because their starting quarterback went down, De Laurent, and Patrick Hyder would have been the next guy to slide in, but he's dealing with a knee from the spring.
Yeah. Now who was their starting quarterback?
His name is Paxton De Laurent. He's a transfer from.
He actually was from Camden in Missouri.
Yeah, and then he transferred from Central Missouri. No, Central Methodist during COVID, and then has kind of been the guy the last couple of years there. So, but he got dinged up a lot last year. He's dinged up in the first game. He took a shot in that game. I mean, a lesson for young quarterbacks, get down. He tried to, he tried to do like a high spin move, and I mean, he got absolutely hammered. But that, it was really kind of on him. I mean, he went the middle. I mean, he's going up the middle, and college football is dangerous business. Get down. Just go down.
I mean, Paxton's an interesting story, too. Similar type deal. Kid playing down at Lake of the Ozarks school, school. But the talent was there, but it's not a heavily recruited school.
Yep.
Just like Hillsborough's not.
Yeah.
Have the talent, and that's the frustrating part, is talking to college coaches, and they just, they hem and they haw, and they don't.
What do you think that is? Because, historically, some of the best players to ever walk the face of earth did not come from big metropolis.
Correct.
Right? They did not. They came from smaller towns, right? Bo
it's
Jackson.
Fair of being wrong.
You think about a Bo Jackson. Yeah. I mean, came from the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Marcus Dupree, middle of nowhere.
Right.
Right.
Everybody wants a sure thing.
Right.
Is what it is. It's fear of failure, fear of being wrong. They have to answer for, hey, you brought this guy to us.
Yeah.
And so that's that. But you need to overlook that. Peyton Brown, and I said it after the Cardinal Ritter game, you put him on Cardinal Ritter.
Yeah.
I mean, because Preston and Peyton were as good or better than most of the kids, including some D1 guys on Ritter. Mm-hmm. And even where Coach Spence said that. He's like, man, those dudes can play anywhere.
They're dogs.
Oh, absolutely. He specifically sought them out after the game and wanted to,
them,
shake their hand.
And so going into the season, right, so a really good strategy, and we've kind of talked about this, is getting to know the coach you're competing against. I know a lot of kids build it up as like, this hatred, and they build them up to be like bad people, but understand you have to compete against somebody, so it's awfully nice of them to show up and play you, right?
Yeah.
Or allow you to come to their field, or you go to their, or they come to your field. But having a mutual respect for the other coach is going to go a long way, because those guys can then give your name to someone else, and that's great if your coach gives your name out. It's really good if another coach gives your name out, right? Someone's not even associated with you. And it's the same thing with me. I'll have guys call and say, hey, have you guys worked with so-and-so? But if I'll say, oh, yes or no. If it's a no and I know them, I'm like, hey, here's what I know, and give them. And so that, I think that's a pretty good vote of confidence. If it's like, hey, this kid's really good, you gotta keep an eye on him, right?
Right.
Right. And so same thing with the high school head coach. Shake their hand after the game. Tell them good job. Win, lose, or draw, because – that person can help you in where you want to go, right?
And they do. And those coaches are alums of some college. And what? They're on the phone. Hey, I just played this kid. And that happens all the time.
Way more than you would guess.
Kids have no idea, but they're calling up their former school and they're like, hey, you got to see this kid.
I mean, JP, the some of the things that go on, though, in football and the lack of just foresight or understanding of how it works, is really, it used to shock me. Now it doesn't even shock me anymore because it's just to the point where, you know, you assume, I mean, you and I have a very good working knowledge of how all this works because we're intimately involved every day, right? Mm-hmm. But, it's very dangerous because people that have played, but maybe played 10, 15, 20 years ago, and now football is a big deal for them when their kid's a junior or senior in high school, you know, they're hearkening back to the day. Things have changed, but not only that, they've lost perspective on kind of how it all works, right? It works differently, but understanding the relationship game works differently. All those things that you think you know, 9 times out of 10 are probably the opposite of what should be being done, right? And so I've seen it, you know, at my level and the junior high level, like with my little team, just bad decisions by people where you're like, I mean, what are you thinking? Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? From just a developmental standpoint. And then you see it at the high school level where it's like, no, we're going to do this. Okay. And then they come around 3 years from now or a year from now and they're like, hey, can you help me? Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time. And you look at them and say, no, I'm busy helping the 5 people that listen to me.
Right. I'm sure you've seen a lot of this lately. But, you know, all the kids, it's game week, kickoff this new season. But you're seeing all over the social media where kids are like, it's my last go around. It's my senior year. It's my last dance.
Yeah.
I'm going to really turn it on this year. And it's like, people have been trying to get you to turn it on.
It probably is your last dance.
Well, right.
I mean, it's probably over after this year.
Enjoy it. Right. Enjoy it. And it's like, well, you know, if you had that mentality and weren't just like, you know, doing it for social media clout, you could have really been something.
Right.
Maybe you still can. You know, maybe they will turn it on. Maybe, but, you know, you hate to see that. But I'm seeing a lot of that. And it's like, it's guys who, like you said, tried to help, tried to get to, you know, and it's not just, it's everybody's
JP,
tried to light a fire under these kids.
You and you reach out to kids. Okay, so back when I first started Elite, I would, and my wife, it was bad. I mean, she used to get so mad at me about it. But every, Saturday night, we'd be coming home from church, and then I'd get on my phone, and I would call or text kids and say, hey, just making sure you're coming to training tomorrow, right? And I did all that, and I was really, on it. And it was a different era then. It was 20-plus years ago, right? And it was good because we had a good personal relationship with the kids and the families, and it was a smaller group that I could call everybody, right? But, the number of kids that you do that with now that think they have the answers, back even just 20 years ago, they understood the value of, well, I'm going to do this to get better this season with really no intended social media clout off of it, which I have no issue with kids getting a little name and recognition.
Right.
Like, put yourself out there, show your wares, show the teams what you got, right? And it shouldn't be, used as some braggadocio or anything like that, but it should be used as a way to show your wares. So as soon as your game's up from this weekend, it's not a bad idea to put your top highlights out and show people what you did. But also be realistic with yourself. If you ran 4 or 5 routes that were bad, or you missed 4 or 5, pass sets, and your poor quarterback's picking himself up all night long because you can't block and you're letting people come inside, you might want to reevaluate, putting the film out till you clean that stuff up. And, I don't know about you, but I on Sunday, we're in there training, and so one of my coaches has put on, the jamborees from the weekend, and, they put them up on YouTube, and so we're watching. It's just sitting there, and it's interesting because it's shot at a level where you're right behind the play and you can they cut it pretty good, so you don't hear a lot of stuff. But it's early in the season, it's sloppy, but I always get a kick out of the kids that are overdressed, over, you know, they got too much drip, right? And they're worried about that. And the ball goes right through their hands, or they can't block, or they continually get blocked, or they can't get play off a block, whatever it might be. And it's just laughable because they're worried about the wrong things, right? Like, let your play represent what you've done. And now, rightfully so, if you know, getting some drip and being smooth, or whatever you want to call it, when looking good is all you got, well, then maybe you'll just be on the sideline. And you'll look good coming on and off the field at halftime, beginning of the game and halftime and the end of the game.
You're a good cheerleader for your team.
Yeah, I mean, but there was one in particular that every single person independently watched and was like, oh, no. Like, you know, this guy had it all on. I mean, he had everything, and the ball just went right through his hand. Like, didn't even see the ball.
He showed up for WWE. Huh?
But yeah, face paint, the whole thing, you know, everything. So be careful about that stuff. I mean, but again, taking a huge step back, it is kind of fun for guys like that. Like, maybe he isn't that good, that he's just on the team and having fun. He's part of the
team.
Then you know what? More power to you, man.
If
you're
going to
do
that,
enjoy it. Be the rah-rah guy. Be a great teammate. Kick butt at practice. Give him a good look. And, you know, I had a buddy in high school that was his deal, and everybody still gives him trouble. Like, he had spat up, you know, like different colored shoes. He looked good. He looked good every game. And people will give him trouble about it still to this day. But you know what? At the same time, he was a great teammate, and he was there for the team, and
that's important. Yeah.
He worked his butt off, and so those are the guys you love having on your team, and you want to be teammates with. You know, the guy that is dressing like that, that isn't putting any work in, and then expects results, is the dangerous one.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, guys have really put in the work. It's great. You know, I've been out a bunch of practices and a bunch of jamborees last week and stuff. And you can see who's put in the work and who's really, really determined. And there's some guys who I thought were done playing football who I saw this past weekend. And, man, they've dedicated themselves. So there are guys who have, for whatever reason, floated around, messed around, and now they seem to have had the switch click.
Yeah.
And so they're going to do it. So we'll see if that translates. Now, they looked good in the jamboree, so we'll see if that translates and clicks. But it can be difficult to get your foot in the door with colleges that late if you wait till your senior year.
Your options are going to be extremely limited.
Yeah.
Very limited.
Yeah. But it's better than just, you know, being Uncle Rico, you know.
Right.
I could have.
Coach would have put me in. Things have been a whole lot different.
Right. And so I love those stories. Yeah. I love running into guys, and I see somebody out there like, huh, who's that big kid playing right tackle? Oh, man, he looks familiar. And then, you know, they'll seek me out. And, you know, Mr. Rock. And I'm like, wow, that's great that you're here and you're doing it. And they're, you know, and they're actually, they're talking the talk, but they're walking the walk.
Which is great.
I love second chances for
guys. And you never know. That guy could go to a, you know, let's say a lower level, and then keep progressing and keep doing his thing, fall in love with the game, realize his errant ways before.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's just your peer group. A lot of it's just, you know, misinformation by coaches, parents, handlers, uncles, aunts, you know, people that don't know, right? And that don't really understand.
Don't know what you don't know.
The big picture. And they just assume, like, oh, yeah, well, just do it that way. That's the way I did it. Or they just assume that's how it's done because that's just their limited sight line. And,
right.
And that, there's so much of that. I mean, and, in the same vein, youth football is that. Like, that's it in a nutshell. Like, it is, by and large, I mean, I'm hearing of teams playing a game on Sunday and they played a game Saturday, you know, like a scrimmage on Saturday and a game on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, like,
which youth football is already kicked off.
Who in their right mind thinks that that's allowable for the body to do? Like, yes, practice, you know, do it, but you can control a practice. A game is a game. And, like it's an unfortunate truth that, like football is not a game that you just get better by playing a mass quantity of games. I mean, there is a system that has been in place for many, many years since the game's inception that you practice 3, 4, 5 times before each game,
mm-hmm.
right? It's because of the scheme, but more importantly, it's so your body can recuperate from each game, right? So going back-to-back is really dangerous, right? And it's one of those things that I just don't, you know, I like the Jamboree style because it's pretty easy. It's pretty straightforward, controlled.
Yeah.
But, you know, you start doing, you know, controlled scrimmage to a game then the very next day, that's a problem. I mean, or going a game and a game the next day, or, you know, three games in a week. I mean, you know, especially if they're sixth, seventh, eighth grade, that's a problem, I mean, even if they're little. But I'm just not a huge fan of that. I just you can't show me that those kids end up being the best kids in high school. Matter of fact, I don't know that any of them will be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how they think that's okay. I know in the high schools, jamborees that just happened, there were less and less series for the varsity teams. There were like some of them were just like six. You know, so I know that they were saying, okay, well, this jamboree is going to be from 6 to 8, but you know, they'd be over by like 7:30 mm-hmm. because just six plays.
Just cut the plays. We did one this weekend with my youth team, and you know, it's early in the year, and we went, no, the quarterback's not live, and quick whistle, because at the end of the day, you want to get out of there. You want to get what you need to get in, but you want to get out of there, you know, as healthy as you can.
Right.
Because, you know, after all, it is a scrimmage, right?
It is a scrimmage.
It's a friendly.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, some teams don't do the jamboree. They'll do the scrimmage for the parents or the fans, mm-hmm. Like, I was at Althoff's on Saturday morning, and that was over really super quick, too. You know, that was just like six plays, eight plays. And some of the players were like, I'm not going to say who, but some of the players were like, why did I get out of bed?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of one of those things. It's just like an extended practice, right?
Right.
But like, they're showing the fans. And
that's what I said.
Parents. And so, but did you get to see East St. Louis and Sacred Heart Griffin?
I didn't do that, but I heard it was.
I saw it on TV, actually.
Oh, did you really?
It was online. It wasn't on TV. It was just on my TV on YouTube. So,
gotcha.
Interesting. Quarterbacks were not live.
Right.
It was definitely controlled. I don't remember seeing any special teams or anything like that.
Was that Kendrick Lyons, the QB1?
I believe so. They weren't announcing, or at least the sound was off when I was watching it. So, but it was good. They had full referees. They definitely played each other. I'm sure when I was watching, I'm like, well, I'm sure CBC's happy about this because they got updated film on them.
Correct.
Because that's who they opened their season with. But, yeah, I think, you know, this time of year as a coach, anytime you can get film on somebody
–
right? Just like, I can't remember if we talked about it. I know we talked about it before the show, but like, you know, Mizzou is going to, in a scenario of 50 new players, right? If you're game planning, how do you game plan that other than out athlete them, right? Like, you know what the tendencies might be, but in high school, it's even worse because they turn, you're losing a quarter of the kids every year.
Right.
Right. And so but you go back and watch film, a lot of times the coaches do the same thing.
Are you telling me you think that Mizzou fans might be ready to jump off a bridge the first quarter there? Because
it'll be interesting, I think. I think Mizzou can out-athlete them. But,
eventually.
But I think, you know, like, you got to get your sea legs, too. Like, you got to, like, the coordinators got to kind of get on the same page. I mean, again, I'm sure they've gone back studied and seen where these guys have come from, the coaches, and what they've called. But maybe you say the guy's a brand-new coordinator. You don't know. And I don't know the logistics on their team. I do know who the new head coach is, but it's interesting. 50 new kids. That's a lot of kids.
That's a lot of kids.
Right. And so, I think that is going to be the story this year of college football is all these, you know, great number of transfers or high level transfers to help these teams. Right. So how'd you like to be the running back from Alabama that went to Florida State and, you know, you go and you think you're going to have your shot in the ACC, a little bit easier run to get into the tournament, and you lose your first game to Georgia Tech on the road, you know, in Ireland.
I was actually surprised of Georgia Tech. Now, that they seem to be onto something, though. I know that they're recruiting a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, ACC, though, doesn't really surprise me. I think they have a lot of parity there. A
lot.
You know, and I'm interested to see what, like, Clemson does. Clemson is still in ACC, aren't
they? Yeah, they open with...
Well, I forgot how many teams have like changed conferences.
Well, there's a lawsuit on that too, and I think that when that finally gets resolved, and it's going to bust the entire thing open. I think that's kind of the last shoe to drop. Is there's a lawsuit with Florida State and a lawsuit with I think Clemson might be involved in it too, with trying to get out of the ACC. And so I think Big Ten would be their deal, but of course I think the SEC would love to have Clemson as well, or Florida State. So,
do you have any like kind of predictions for Mizzou's season? Have you kind of looked at their schedule?
I think
see what they do. So they have Murray
two
State.
Losses.
Two losses. Okay, so here let's run down it. Murray State, right at home.
Win. I'm going out on a limb.
I think.
But the spread's like 47 points or some crazy number. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think it'll be close for the first 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go out on a limb with that too. Then Buffalo at home. Boston College.
Remember that was a tough one a couple years ago. Boston College.
Yep. It's at home. They only have Vanderbilt. So there you go. 4-0 is pretty good. Looking pretty good right out of the gate. Texas A&M on the road. Their first road game. October
big stadium.
3rd.
Big hostile environment. So that could be a tough one.
And so then, interestingly, UMass on the road. It's going to be in Amherst.
Yeah.
Should be another win.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're looking.
You mean they
good.
Can't just at the last second pull it from them and then make them come to the dome like they did to Memphis last year?
that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then they can start getting into the meat of it. Auburn, you know, not really sure what's going to be going on with them.
They're on the rise, but I don't know. I mean,
it's at home, right? And then they go to Alabama, which should be a fun game.
Heck yeah.
Just to see what's going on with their Alabama, ranked number 5 preseason. And this is where they get it's kind of an interesting stretch with the Auburn, Alabama at Alabama, then Oklahoma comes, which is the game of the year.
Hell yeah!
I mean, were you at the
I
one?
Was there.
Okay, I was there too.
John McGaffey, kickoff return.
That was amazing. I was down on the sideline, and that was just crazy because they hadn't experienced anything like that in a long, long time.
That's the stadium was packed.
Stadium was packed.
Gabbard had a hell of a game. I mean, it was just a great effort, right? Just great effort, team effort, and was that the last time Oklahoma was there, or were they coming after that? I can't remember.
I don't know. I think they might
maybe a year or two after that they went to the SEC.
That was really kind of like the kickoff for like the big era of Pinkel.
Yep.
They really kind of crossed that hurdle. And so that was fun. That was fun, you know, because I was in the media room afterwards. I mean, that was just so much fun.
Yeah, that
Coach Pinkel was actually like kind of, cracked a little bit of a smile, you know, because he realized what had happened. And so that was it. So then Alabama, Oklahoma, back to back. So that's going to be interesting. And when was the last time, I'm trying to think of when Missouri's ranked higher than Oklahoma? In the
it's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to see how Texas and Oklahoma do in the SEC. I mean,
me too.
I think they were logical adds.
Mm-hmm.
They really weakened the Big 12 now. I mean, the Big 12 is almost like a Mountain West style conference. I mean, Iowa State's obviously solid. Kansas State's solid.
Right.
Kansas is kind of, you know, they've gotten better,
they're
right?
Getting better,
they've gotten better. But then you say, well, what's better? It's all relative. You take those two guys out of there, one of those teams is going to be looking a lot better than what they are schedule-wise, right?
Because
they're beating up on, you know, and then they come over and play a team that's battle-hardened from the Big Ten or SEC and probably get their butts handed to them.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, they're all looking pretty winnable so far. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, A&M is going to be a tougher game. You know, Alabama is definitely going to be a tougher game. Oklahoma is going to be a tougher game, but still winnable, especially at home. South Carolina, man, they're just really...
We've had a good, pretty good run against them.
Owned South Carolina. Yeah. They've owned South Carolina. I hate it when I'll slip and say we.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not part of it. Then Mississippi State in Starkville. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Mississippi State's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes they jump up and bite
people. Right. Oh, they've... Every year they get somebody.
Right. And then Arkansas finish things up. I think that's...
We got them at home, too, right?
Got them at home, yeah. That's going to be the last game of the present head coach.
I was going to say, do you think Sam Pittman survives this year?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I was teasing Barry Odom the last time I saw him. I'm like, so you're going back to Arkansas?
I mean, well, think about it. They start hot at UNLV.
Yep.
That's the logical hire.
100%.
That is the logical. He loves it. His kid goes to school in Fayetteville.
Yep.
I mean, nothing against UNLV.
No.
I mean, he loves it out there, I know. But that would be the logical boom. Right. Come right back.
And, of course, right. He's like, I'm 100% locked into UNLV. But if you're Arkansas,
yeah,
that's who's going to be number one on your list. Because it's not like, I mean, think of some of the coaches. It's not like in olden days. It's not like years ago where they were obvious names for colleges.
Right.
Right. That's gone. you know, like this guy's a good fit, this guy's a good fit, whatever. That's over with.
And he, think about it, when he left there, it destabilized again. like
really
he
did.
Was there, it stabilized pretty damn, I mean, the...
Well, that happened at Memphis too, right?
Right. I mean, so, like there is a pattern, right?
Yes.
And the thing is he got fired at Mizzou after a winning season, and they were found guilty in a thing, something that happened before. They had one on his watch, right?
Right.
I mean, like, that whole thing. I mean, give you a break.
That was a mess. That was a
complete
mess that
mess
he came into.
Oh, yeah.
And really, he probably shouldn't have taken it, the job.
Right. Right.
But it was his alma mater, and he wanted to.
Why
you know,
not?
He'd
yeah.
been there, so what? Why not? But based upon how Pinkel left and what was going on there, he walked into
the train was off the tracks
completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
So, but I think to your point, I mean, I think there's a maybe 2-3 losses. If they
right.
get if they have one loss, they're in the playoff, right?
Right. I think they can duplicate last year.
Yeah.
You know, they have that opportunity.
The key will be. Staying healthy. How well the running backs play, staying healthy.
Staying healthy in that little, you know, that little window there. Like I think they have like a couple of back-to-back road games, you know. And then like A&M and UMass. UMass shouldn't be a problem. A&M's going to be interesting. It's always tough for Mizzou to play there every time they've ever played there. And then, of course, the Alabama game is going to be pretty tough. So, but yeah, I think you're looking at a you know, Mizzou fans should be pretty happy.
I don't think Alabama will take a huge step back. I mean, obviously, different scenarios. Saban left it in pretty good
yeah.
state,
yep.
right? I mean, he's still involved to a certain degree, I believe. Like, I mean, I don't think he's coach, obviously, but he didn't walk out the door, right? I mean, he stayed in
empty.
The transition, and
yeah.
there was a transition. So, yeah, it's not, I talked to Miles McVay's father the other day just via text, and sounds like he's pushing the guy from back at left tackle. So
yeah.
he's in left guard, I think, but left tackle is where he's more comfortable.
How about Miles? How about Miles? Talking about a guy, and he was always a huge athletic kid, but the way he transformed his body, which is why he's, you know, going to be back
at.
Where he's at, you know, pushing for the starting left tackle position. I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing we're talking about, where guys take time off. I was talking to somebody on my way in here about another Alabama player who's from the Kansas City area, Jayshon Ross, who's just a naturally gifted athlete, right?
Yep.
And I know Williams and Ranieri, everybody was, the fan sites were, oh, no, he's the number one. I'm like, Jayshon Ross, right?
Yeah.
Just shot out of a cannon when he's on plays. But took a bunch of plays off, and then, but he's down there doing his thing too. And, you know, it's all up here when you're on that level of an athlete.
100%.
What you want to do. And that's the tough part that we see, where there are guys who are in that realm of being an athlete, but it doesn't click for them mentally.
Yeah. And you see it happen so many times, especially in our area. I'm sure it happens across the country.
Oh, yeah.
But where you have, you know, a 5-star or 4-star kid, and then they start getting treated like they're a 5-star and 4-star kid. You know, the thing that's tough is they still need to be coached. They still need to be ridden hard, because, like, they're getting ready to go into an environment that the rest of the kids on that team are not going to be going into. So there's a balancing act, but letting guys get away with not being in practice, letting guys, you know, kind of get away with, you know, BS stuff that, like, that a freshman would get yelled at for.
Right.
You know, I don't think you're doing anybody any favors.
No.
And I think that it's a really tight wire to, you know, and that's why it's some of the programs that have the better kids that come out consistently know how to handle those guys a little bit better. But I've seen it. I know you've seen it, where you go to a practice or a game, you're like, why isn't that guy playing? And it's like almost as if he's, you know, he's just gracing the sidelines by just being there. And,
yeah.
and he's going to help his team win by just simply being in his game jersey, you know, street clothes on the sideline.
Right. What's fascinating, what I love to do is, you know, I make it around the state. I actually see these kids live. And what I'm looking for is the guys who are committed, right? What are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some guys just go full on. Some guys, dude, I'm committed to this school. I signed with this school, whatever the deal is. And they, you know, are they going to bring it this year? Or are they going to?
A lot of them don't, JP.
I know a lot of them don't, but I always look for that and look for those guys, you know, because the guy's still coming up. The guy's still looking for the offers. They're the ones that you really got to pay attention to because they're the ones that are really going to show you something.
So I've told this to so many kids over the years, like you'll see these seniors kind of taking it easy because it's like, well, I'm a 5-star, I'm a 4-star, I'm going to wherever.
Mm.
And what they're not, what they fail to understand is that guy that they're going to be competing with next year is in an environment that is 180, a full 180 different than what they're playing in, right? Completely different. High intensity, highly competitive. They're getting dogged out in film room every day. They have people talking. I mean, they got guys fights in practice. All those things that are going on, and you're coasting and drifting away from your where you think you want to go, and then your guy you're going to be competing with next year, maybe he's a freshman, a redshirt freshman, or maybe even a sophomore, who is in the thick of the battle in college, getting after it every single day, and yet you think because they're recruiting you that you're okay.
Yeah,
I am that special. And then you get there and you realize a couple of days in, like, this coach is a complete ass. Like, why is he talking to me this way? Why didn't he say hi to me in the hallway?
Right. When did he tell me how much he loves me? Like,
yeah,
I'm going to
tell my parents.
Right.
Too late.
Yep.
Right. And yeah, I know in today's age, they have to manage it a little bit better than they used to have to manage it because, you know, kids will leave and all that and they'll get paid to go somewhere else. But, you know, some of that stuff will eventually just root itself out. If you're not giving that effort, that like they're gonna, if the coach stops talking to you, that's probably a bad thing.
Yeah,
always a bad thing.
Most definitely. So, do you have any other college football thoughts? What about you? Are you paying much attention to what they're doing in Michigan?
Yeah, a little bit. I watched a little bit of their training camp stuff. Like at night, I'll watch the Big Ten and SEC training camp and the ACC. You know, I don't think they're going to be as good as they were. I mean, they got a lot to contend with. They got a lot
of
people.
They're like stripping them of stuff, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're team-wise. I'm just thinking they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But they are. Yeah. There's definitely. They were caught. Right?
Yeah, they were caught. It's hard to feel bad for them.
No, they were caught, and you know, he's already out the door, right? So what are they going to do? They're going to going to punish some future kids that were not even involved, right, for the most part, right? And a lot of it goes back to, like, COVID-era stuff that was just ridiculous as far as, like, I mean, and rightfully so, like, the state of Michigan was, like, really locked down differently than some others, so maybe they felt like they had to do above and beyond. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the context exactly what everything they did, but not excusing his behavior, but at the same time, there probably was some mitigating factors that led them to be like, hey, we're going to push the envelope here.
Yeah,
I mean, some of the service academies got in trouble for doing stuff.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't seem like it's uniformed in the punishment of schools.
Of course not. Well, was it uniform when Mizzou got nailed for someone, you know, supposedly cheating through a tutor I mean, like, that wasn't uniform.
Well, they'd have to take all. Well, no, I won't. I almost got myself in trouble. But there are certain teams that might have been in the Big Eight back in the day that probably would have had a lot of hardware stripped from them.
Of course, right? So
because that was what they were known for.
So let me ask you this: going into the football season, you get high school games, you get your college games, you get your NFL games. Which one's the most intriguing? Which one's the best one for you to watch?
For me to watch personally,
yeah.
Oh, high school, without question,
yeah,
without question, because it is the purest form,
100%
of the game that there is left. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'll watch, you know, your middle school team, and
yeah,
I love that too because I'm constantly looking for talent. But I mean, the high school games, you can't beat it. You absolutely can't beat
it. Well, the atmosphere is different.
Just the atmosphere is different. Guys are doing it for the love of the game, and they're doing it because they want to be something. They want to make themselves awesome. And on the college level, there are guys who think they've made it already.
Of course.
You know, and there's already money involved now, and so it's gotten more into that, and it's just like more of a pro atmosphere. You know, and now back in the day, I used to love college, you know, watching the college. I used to love to just sit on the wall at Mizzou and watch practice. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And because, you know, it seemed like then it was pretty pure still, you know, where guys were doing it out of love, and they were still striving for something, because there were not these guarantees. You know, you weren't signing deals and making deals with people and getting paid
and making money, significant money, right, in the middle cash of it.
Right.
So I'm scrolling here to see, because today is a really important day because of the NFL cut. So today's the NFL cut down day. It has to be done in today. So one of the guys that we've talked about numerous times, Isaiah Williams, he's on the bubble. He did more than enough to make it, but they're trying to figure out if they're going to go with him or a bigger receiver. So I think it bodes well for him, is what it looks like. But and then obviously Cody Schrader, I haven't heard anything about him. I mean, the only negative thing that I could see with him is that the last game, they cut Matt Breida, I think.
So you're going to be watching the ticker tonight to look for?
Yeah, and it looks like Cody Schrader, I mean, he's not on the cut list, so as of now.
Hmm.
So that means he's probably going to be a special teams guy and make it, and or practice squad. But
what a story.
Right, right. I mean, he's definitely in the
Lutheran
mix.
Out of Lutheran South, right?
Yeah.
Out of Lutheran South, and then going to Truman State. And I got to tell you what, this past year with recruiting, how it's gone because of the portal, Truman State recruited really well. There's going to be more Cody Schraders coming out of there and coming out of other little directional schools or in-state schools, D2 schools, because the talent level is falling down to the next tier.
Oh, 100%. You miss guys. You just miss them.
Yeah. So if you want to see some good football, go to a Truman State game. Mm-hmm. Go to a Central Missouri game. Right, because you're going to see some really good football players. We already know Northwest Missouri State, really good football.
This summer,
SEMO, look at them.
Right, they got some studs. And this Linden summer, they had the Central Missouri camp, and I know you know this, but the number of kids that went to that camp, they got some talent to show up to that camp, right?
Yeah.
So, just shows you if kids aren't getting the love, and that's what people have to understand. The linemen, it comes a little bit later just because of their size and maturation, right? I mean, unless you're like Jackson Cantwell, benching 900 pounds in fifth grade. Yeah. But the quarterbacks and the skill guys are starting to get like sniffs, like, you know, sophomore, your freshman, sophomore, junior year, early junior year. And then after that, it just kind of dries up for guys, and then they're just kind of like sniffing around, waiting for whatever they can find.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're not a good quarterback, but as you and I know, like quarterback, receiver, running back, those guys are given different opportunities based on how highly they were recruited coming into a class. So if you become a coveted guy, you know, short of you not doing what you're supposed to do, or someone else transferring in, or some freak accident or injury or whatever, like, you have a shot. Like, you have a shot, right? And so, but it just starts so early, and that's where, going back to your earlier comment, like, so many of these kids are like, it's my last ride, and it's kind of like they're refocusing their senior year, thinking that magically something's going to happen their senior year. And unfortunately, that's just, like, it's very rare that what they want to have happen happens. Yeah. Something is going to happen.
Thinking you can turn it on, turn it off.
Yeah, you can't.
No. It doesn't work like that.
And if you think that, then you have not listened to everybody around you. I mean, I you would hope that people have talked to them about making good choices on and off the field, making good choices from a training and development.
And
nutrition.
The college coaches do their homework. They talk to the coaches, and they're like, well, what about this guy? Well, he really, you know, he took 4 out of 5 plays off. You know, he was good for maybe a series. I mean, you know, no matter what you do your senior year.
So,
and that's going to hold them back from the recruitment.
So, you know, we talk so much about recruiting film and having your best plays, you know, up front, and having those plays stacked up for your highlight reel. What we don't talk a lot about is they usually like to see 2 to 3 game films, so they can watch the highlights and the lowlights, and what happens when the ball's not coming to you. What happens when you're rolling to your right and you have to throw back a little to your left? But that one didn't make the cutting room floor. On the cutting room floor, didn't make your highlight film. They want to see game film, right? And with the innovations of huddle, they can, with the click of a button, can have a full game film. Back in our day, it would be a VCR tape, right?
Yeah.
With the highlights on the front and the 3 game films on the back or whatever. But now, they just send it. It's there. So to think that you're going to fool somebody on just your good plays tells you you don't know what you're talking about, because the coaches need to see the body of work. They want to see linemen finishing blocks, not just every once in a while when it's advantageous. They want to see blocks finished every single play. They want to see you, how well you run down the field behind the play, how fast, what your effort looks like. If the ball's going away from you, are you trying to get off the field and cut the safety off, or are you just walking? Okay, yeah, but that stuff is so easy to see.
Look, how you get up to the line, you get set. A lot of the stuff that I find out about kids is that stuff. How you come off the field. How do you go onto the field? You know, how you do in a stretch line? How are you warming up? You know what I mean? Your movement, just your base. And so there's all this stuff, and kids don't realize what guys are looking at. What coaches or scouts are looking at.
What's funny is we had, I was talking to some young athletes the other day, and one of them said to me, he's like, this guy's a captain on my team. He's like, I don't know if it's a good pick. He's like, he half speeds it in the warm-ups.
Yeah, that's
a kid said, middle schooler said that about another middle schooler, and which tells me
he's going to be a good coach.
that got a good eye, right? And it's like, hey, and I don't like it. And I said, from a coaching perspective, I said, well, then you as a leader as well need to turn to that person and motivate them or put your foot in their butt so that they do it.
Right.
Because if a leader is doing that, that's going to permeate through the entire team. So you got to cut that off if you're the true leader, right? And so, I'm just excited. You know, I like the high school games as much, if not better. What I like about us, we have kids in every game that I'm watching 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. I do really enjoy the college when we have kids that are playing, which is a lot of schools. And then obviously in the NFL, I'm more very specific to watching guys that we train in the NFL. So in any given year, that could be 10 to 35 guys, depending on what it is. So I think that's fun to watch, right? And then some of them get weeded out each year and get cut. Some guys retire. I mean, it just like Marcus Golden retired, Blaine Gabbert retired. It's the end of an era, right? But it's fun to watch that. But you know, you and I were watching those guys when they were young guns, right?
I mean, that's what's really weird is I remember standing. It's you mentioned Marcus retiring. It seems like yesterday, and I guess it's because you're getting old. But it was just yesterday. I'm standing on the sideline at Jennings High School watching Marcus reel off an 80-yard touchdown run, right? At 6'2", 6'3", 230 pounds. Like, just like there's nothing. Just stiff arming guys and dragging guys and just with the speed. And here he is retiring from the NFL. And it's like, what happened?
Hey, he was pretty easy to notice, wasn't he?
He was pretty easy to notice, but you'd be surprised.
Yeah, I know.
Talking to college coaches saying, telling them about him and them being like, I don't know. And I'm like, you don't know.
But he's a guy, running back, linebacker, D-line, rush end.
Which, interesting, I don't know how much you follow or not, but Kai Roberts Day, right? I'm sure you remember Joplin, Missouri's twin brother, unfortunately, untimely death, passed away. But Kai came up. I invited him to the Elite Combine.
I remember him.
As a freshman going into a sophomore year. Never played varsity, but being who I am, I'm found him. Invited him up there at 6'3", 215, running a 4.5, 40, broad jumping 11 feet. I mean, talking about, a sophomore, junior guy.
Yeah.
Running back, right? And me and you were talking to him at the combine. I'm like, well, what do you want to play? He's like, I like to catch the ball. Like, guess where he's playing? Defensive line.
Yeah, he put.
And you and I were talking. Yeah, we were talking. We're like, well, you'd. Really
and what's he weigh now? I wonder. He's got to be a house.
Yeah. Oh, he is a house. He is a house.
He's
man.
Big. I'm sure his frame was wonderful.
It was, and it's all just ripped, chiseled, and So he's still that athlete. And I remember I was talking to him, be like, And I said, I'm like, you'd be pretty hell on wheels.
Didn't he
want to
come out and do 7-on-7 too?
He wanted to come up,
He got done. He's like, I don't know if I want to be a receiver anymore, right? Or whatever it was.
No, he wanted to catch the ball.
Yeah.
Every time I was like, Kai, how you doing? You ready to make that switch? No, I don't like catching the ball. I want to catch the ball.
Guess what? Baylor sort of Talon, Chandler.
Yes.
Talon loved catching the ball till he was told not to catch the ball anymore, right?
So Baylor finally, the Bears finally convinced him that he's a defensive lineman, which – you know, given his athleticism and all that, you know, get a chance to make some money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he is getting off the bus, man. He looks like a freaking $1 million.
With 4.5 speed, you know?
Yep. But
just
stud.
Yeah, just explosive power, strength. You're broad jumping 11 feet in high school.
And he was a kid that would come in and train. He came back and did the combine, even after being committed, because he was loyal to the process.
He was loyal to the process.
Good kid, open-minded, just fun, loving, but uber athletic. But great build.
Just a great kid. And you got to admire that because you know, making that transition, he always remembered. And he, you know, we had a good relationship. And he said, I'm always coming to Elite. He's like, because you guys found me when I was nothing.
Yeah. Right? And you know what? Who's the next guy we're going to find, right? That's what I love.
Yeah.
And I love being involved at this, especially at lower level. Mm-hmm. Like I've told you a couple of times, like our eighth grade class of quarterbacks right now, there's some studs. Like, and it's a very interesting, it's going to be interesting to see where everybody ends up out of that group. There's no one really clumped up into the same schools, which I think is good. That could change when kids go to private school or something like that. But it's a pretty interesting. There's like a contingent of, you know, 8 to 10 guys that we see consistently that, you know, it's fun watching them. Very athletic. Like we had them at our little summer camp this summer, and it was just fun to watch them compete, fun to watch them get out there and just rip the ball and do things that older guys are doing. Like, you know, it's fun because the game – can accelerate for numerous reasons, and I think we're in an acceleration phase. You know, because there's so much information at these guys' fingertips.
Yep.
Whether it be playing the video games for redevelopment, whether it be getting the right training, you know, watching the older guys. And you know, like I watched my son the other day in practice. I didn't even acknowledge it, not when he did it, but you know, it was on a little quick bubble screen, and he rather than getting his feet, he was just kind of, you know, emulating things he's seen. And he just shoots it out the side. It was a perfect pass, right? Pretending someone was coming, rushing him, right? Which, fine. But same thing you see your Brady Cook doing. It's the same thing you see, you know, who Aaron Rodgers doing. So, but it's so in their face and social media. So, like, you know, if a kid has a brain that can watch something and then do it, he's going to benefit. If a kid has to be taught step by step by step, that's probably going to be a little bit slower uptake, and probably not going to be able to do that stuff. But it is fun to see, and just like guys like the linemen watching good pass sets and how to take angles. There's so much information. Got to be careful. There's some bad information out there too.
That's true.
So you got to know who the messenger is. But yeah, I think I'm just excited to see
that 2029 class. I'm shocked at how many good little athletes and players there are in there already.
Yep.
2028 class. This incoming freshman class. Phenomenal across the board. Really good quarterbacks in that class. I'm sure you know a lot of them. But I'm talking about statewide, just the number of quarterbacks and just athletes. I mean, and I'm talking about it every position, and that's the shocking part is because, you know, usually there's some positions that are heavy and some that you can't find. Man, there's everything across the board. You know, you got everything from, you know, the 6'6 offensive linemen that are freshmen coming in to the, you know, the running backs, the linebackers, surprisingly. Tight ends, some really good. And we're talking about big kids, you know, like Bridge James, of course. And, you know, Lisa North has a 6'4", 225-pound tight end. It's just crazy.
Like if you have a kid that's tall and lean that plays basketball and you're not getting him trained at tight end,
right,
you're missing a great opportunity. If your kid's 6'3 and a half to 6'5", and he's going to be average on the basketball court. Yeah, he can play basketball.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of those guys, it's a mentality thing. They're never going to transition to football. But a lot of them will. And when they do, tight end, that's what those guys are. It's who those guys are in the NFL. They're just big dudes that can run.
You're seeing a bunch of that. Actually seeing a bunch of 6'2", 6'3", freshmen, 2028 receivers who are going to be really, really good in this class all over the state.
Yeah. I'm excited. How many? That's the other thing too. Is like how many varsity players that are freshmen are starting on the varsity? I've heard a few kids' names.
There's a few.
Usually, that's an indication that there's bare cupboards at the high school, right?
Yeah.
You know, but I've also heard some names at schools that are better schools.
Yeah, I mean, you look at a Max Jones, you know, who mm-hmm. just was offered by UMass. I mean, that's a no-brainer, you know. When he was with the junior cadets, you know, he was a 6'4 kid running around.
I was trying to tell him, like, listen, you're a football. I know you're good at basketball. You love going to AAU all summer.
Mm-hmm.
You need to spend time on being a receiver, man, because you have things that not every kid has. I mean, that's the thing is you watch these high school, like the Jamboree films, and I know you see this, but you can see there's a lot of kids on those tapes that are just, they're just high school football players, and that is not meant to be disrespectful in any manner. That's what they do. They're playing high school football, right? And a lot of their size and just their makeup or lack thereof of just like their physical nature.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a junior and senior, you weigh 155.
Yeah.
That's a problem. That shows that you have not dedicated yourself to either your nutrition, your sleep, or your lifting, or all the above. And so you just see a lot of those guys that probably believe that they are just like the guys in college, and it's like they get to college and realize, like, oh, this is a whole nother deal, right? You know, it's like we talked about months ago. They go to the spring game and they watch them. Oh, my God, I can do that. Mm-hmm. I can do that. Oh, that guy sucks. You know, he dropped the ball. And then they get out there and they look like they have two left feet because
right.
they can't compete at that level because they're not fast enough. They're not big enough. They're not strong enough. All those things matter. And so, you know, I guess my wish for guys going into the season, the high school football players going into the season would be, one, first and foremost, enjoy the process. Enjoy having fun. Enjoy being with your friends. Enjoy being with your school, your classmates. Enjoy representing those people and your family. And just enjoy being around the game because you don't get to do it that often. It's a once-in-a-lifetime, really, opportunity because once it's over, it's over. There's right. nothing like high school football.
No.
So you get to enjoy it. Have fun. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, enjoy the game, because what will be when it comes to the recruiting side of things, whether you put the work in or not, it'll be pretty evident. But enjoy the whole process and make the most of it, right? And then and see what happens afterwards. But if you're only playing to go to college, it's gonna hinder your game. Play to respect the game. Play to enjoy being a great football player. Play to be a great teammate and follow what your coaches are telling you. And you never know what's going to happen,
yeah.
right? I mean, so let will be what will be. So I would just say cherish it, because as old guys sitting on the other side of it, you know when it's done, it's done. And there's not a worse feeling, whether you're going to college or not, when that senior season ends and you realize it's over. And it's yeah. something that you can think about the rest. You'll carry it with you the rest of your life, right?
Yeah. And then all you can do is dream that you're at football practice, right?
right. I mean, like yeah, right, yeah.
You still have those dreams? Where
yeah, without a helmet on.
Yeah.
So I just think, you know, we talk a lot about the recruiting side of things and where kids are going, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of kids will never play college football, right? 95% right. will not. Those 95% are going to gain things from the game of football that our society needs, right? And those kids should be able to take those lessons that they learn and then take it out, proliferate it into the world and make it a better place, right? Perseverance, teamwork, camaraderie, really just having some grit about themselves, right? And the ability to believe in themselves and be able to lean on someone else to help them when they need help. So
yeah.
to me, it's the greatest game on earth. High school football is the greatest iteration of it, right? The professional and college game are pretty awesome also.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing more pure. Right. It is awesome.
Nothing.
So enjoy it. Have fun. Get the most out of it. Whether you guys go 0-10 or you go 10-0,
yeah.
I promise you, you'll remember those results the rest of your life.
Yep, absolutely. I really, really, really admire the guys who persevere through the 0-10 season. And they're still having fun.
Right.
And they're still enjoying it.
Right. You're with your buddies. Hey,
yeah.
you're with your friends.
Yeah.
Right? And quite honestly, putting on a helmet that's got the same color on it, same logo, you get to go to war against some
building
other guys across town.
Life. Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of smack talk and a lot of that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, and you got like 1,000 to 5,000 people at a game.
Yeah. Well, like, if you're 0-10, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you're 0-10, you just got your parents in the band.
Your parents are there, yeah.
In the band, right? And yeah. So, but, you know, I went to a jamboree this weekend. I would guess that there was probably 2,000 people in the stands,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And name another high school sport where there's 2,000 people. A high school basketball game is probably 500 to 1,000, maybe.
Playoff,
games, just because of the size of the gyms. Right. But you get to do that, and you get to have fun, and you get to, you know, be with your guys, and the band's playing, and it's just such a cool environment. Every time I go to a high school game, I get chills. Every time. You get to walk up, the lights are on. I will admit, I'm definitely more of a fan of the night games, the Friday nights. I don't get the same feeling on Saturday
afternoons.
There's
less and less Saturday games because a lot of the teams, a lot of the schools, in fact, schools that they're like hemorrhaging students and players to other schools, they've installed lights. And so you're going to see less and less day, you know, Saturday day games coming up, which I think is going to be a shame because I enjoy it because that's just one more.
Well, you get to see another game.
It's
a set deal.
Or two, right, or two coming up. So in the last few minutes here, are there any teams or players or games that pop out to you that you're interested in seeing or this coming up?
I want to see because we know who the kind of like the perennial, you know, powerhouses are.
Yeah.
Want to see who that next program to make the step up, right? And I think, you know, because you got...
Smet's going
to
be really...
Yeah, you got the Smet. CBC should be solid. East St. Louis will be solid. Cardinal Ritter is going to be solid.
Yep.
You know, those are really good programs.
Yeah, a couple of teams. And we were talking about one of them was Parkway North is going to surprise a lot of people because of their new quarterback.
They got a stud at quarterback. I mean, it's a game changer for them. I mean, he is a... excellent quarterback, threw for a ton of yards. He's got really good feet. He can run. I mean, it just opened up.
He's
I mean, last
really
year they were
receivers.
A really quick game, like a lot of quick, like single read stuff, like check it down real fast. And then quarterback got hurt. They put in a running back at quarterback. And now they're going to have at full disposal, they're going to have their weapons plus – a guy that can put the ball down the field, which, you know, that's going to help him a ton.
Some new additions. Colin Griffin is there now. Antoine Gunn, you know, can run, can catch the ball. I mean, they've got some nice weapons along with the guys there. They have size on the line. They have some defensive guys. Jordan Clark's another guy, receiver, defensive back guy. He was a boom guy, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, they're going to be loaded. Surprising. Another team that's really going to surprise some people is Lift for Life.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I got to see their jamboree against the Smet and Parkway Central and Timberland. And I got to tell you what, man, they were fired up against the Smet.
Well, their head coach.
And they were.
Tony Wolfork is a high energy guy.
He's going to win a state championship.
Yeah. What class are they in?
Good question.
I guess we won't know until they release all that, right?
I'm hearing some things, though. In some schools, I'm surprised how high they've moved up in you know. It Misha's
calculations.
Yes, yeah, and I mean I don't understand it, but okay. So I'm really curious to find out where people go because it could really throw a monkey wrench in a lot of stuff and could really just make it top heavy. I also heard that next year they're looking into a private versus public, so that would really also just shot, you know, just
for championships.
Shit. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, just that would really just shake things up.
And then, you know, that happens, and then you're going to have the, well, who's better? We they could have, you know. So now we have, for the most part, they do play each other, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the private schools have definitely this last 10, 12 years have gotten the better of the public schools. But on the flip side, you know, there's been some good public schools that play football.
Right. I don't think it will happen. I wouldn't be surprised because there's going to be a lot of politics. There's a lot of unhappy people that they're losing a lot of their players to the private schools right now. But I would be shocked if that happened. But that's the other thing that I'm hearing. But it's going to be interesting where it shakes out. I mean, you know, west side of the state, you have Lee Summit North, Liberty North, that whole battle. It's been the same for. Along with CBC and this Matt to see how that shakes out. Live for Life, though, they're going to win a state championship under Coach Wolfolk because he's got some talent. They've got some talent.
A lot of talent.
He's got some good coaches on his staff. I mean, they're set at quarterback like 2-3 deep now. Yeah. Mikey Jardine is backing up Keyshawn Hill, who's really come on.
Where did Keyshawn Hill was he at?
He was originally at Luther North. And then he's been at Lyft for the
past.
He's
a bigger kid.
He's about 6'3", 6'3", 6'4", 200 pound, yeah. 190, 100, 200 pound
and
kid.
What year is Jardine?
They're both seniors.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because he came from Principia.
Right, right. And started out Lutheran St. Charles, then was at Principia last year.
Now he's the high school transfer portal.
High school. Well, I don't want to get into that aspect.
It is crazy, though, the number of kids that I've seen this year, speaking of that. I mean, the eligible. I have not heard of many. Some of the kids I heard that were initially ineligible are now eligible. Yeah. So, again, I don't know if, again, that's the ones I know of. So there might be plenty,
right.
but I have not heard of a lot that where they've been a lot of restrictions.
There's only one school that kids have come from that I'm hearing are like ineligible. So I don't know what that has to do, whether that's politics or what.
Yeah.
But everybody else seems to be good to go. And whereas last year, I mean, you know, there were kids who were down in like Lake of the Ozarks area. They were blocking them.
Weeks into the season,
weren't letting them. That's another team that's going to be really good, Helias.
Yes.
They're going to be good. They're going to be right there battling, you know, whoever's in that class five, whether it be Ritter. I mean, I see those two just kind of like
they had a battle last year.
You know, Herman's going to be another team. I mean,
yeah,
because not only do they have Dayton Hopkins and some other nice players, but they added one of your former boom quarterbacks.
Yeah, Henry Allenbach. He was out of some this weekend. Henry is a very solid quarterback, big, strong.
Yep.
Throws the
He's
heck out of the ball.
Thrive at Herman.
Yeah, and apparently he loves Herman. Like just they moved the family moved there, and they've been a very good deal because the parents I think involved in a winery in that area, which there's no shortage of wineries there. So
no.
They're in the process of opening one up, I believe. So
yeah.
Pretty cool. I think it's kind of a neat thing.
That's going to be a really cool connection to watch, Henry to Dayton.
Yes.
Because Dayton, while he's going to play DN at Mizzou, just feed an unbelievable receiver at 6'6".
Yeah, he's long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited. I don't know who the top public school on the St. Louis side is. Obviously, Kansas City has less of the private school influence than we do on this side. We have a lot of, I would say we dilute ourselves a lot with the number of private schools we have. I mean, and that's big and small private schools, right? I think, you know, MICDS should be pretty solid this year as a private that we didn't mention. But then from a public school, Parkway North, you know, then you look at, you know, some of the bigger schools. I think
Kirkwood's
Lafayette should have a pretty good run this
year.
Kirkwood's
going to be good.
Kirkwood will be solid. You know, but those are the bigger kind of predominant, you know, football schools, right?
Eureka.
Eureka should be pretty solid. I would think, you know, Marquette. So some of the bigger schools should be pretty good. I think
Fort Zimmel East. I mean, North.
North.
Not East.
Yeah.
North.
Yeah, not East. Then I think West should be pretty good. Then you look at North Point.
Fort Zimmel North's going to be good. North Point's going to surprise.
That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
I think you got, you know, Holt is always solid.
Holt is solid.
They coach, they just execute.
I'll tell you what, Timberland's got a lot of good young players. I mean, just a lot of good young players.
I mean,
if they can put all that together, you know, we'll see. Of course, they're, you know, a kid who would have really been nice to see in their quarterback mix is at CBC now.
He's back. At Timberland.
He's back at Timberland. That did not pan out, huh?
Did not.
Wow.
Back at Timberland.
That's
ineligible.
I was going to say. Yeah, that's a shame.
No, eligible. Sorry, eligible. I said and eligible. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
But is
the best
he,
of my knowledge.
Where is he in the mix? Though?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's
I just heard it on Sunday. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Interesting. Very, very interesting, because I'll tell you
as the world turns.
He could have thrived.
Oh, he's a stud.
So I
think there's so many moving parts, you know, between all the different schools.
These
right?
guys got to quit doing that.
I know it's tough.
Hey, I can't go back and rewrite the
make sure you update all your information of where you're at. Send him
media.
A DM.
Yeah.
Let him know that you're back wherever you're at or wherever you're going. Because hey, at some point, if your name's in a report, you certainly want those people, if they come to look at you, to make sure that you're at that school.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
That's
So yeah, you got to let me know. Some other kid just did that. He just did that. A kid went back to California after being in Kansas City for a while, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing to me? You know,
was that there was a kid? It was at
the combine.
Was from Columbia that was going to go to California or something.
He went to Florida.
Florida, that's right.
He did that. Yeah. I don't recommend that. By the way,
Florida is tough sledding.
Make your name.
I had a guy who was telling me the other day that now in Florida, that for the first time in forever, the publics and privates are going to play each other.
Really?
Right? But they don't have conferences. So, like, they kind of have, like, this free reign to play whoever they want. But, like, he was, like, explaining it to me. He's like, it is a huge cluster. Huge cluster.
Oh, I can imagine.
And the high turnover rate with coaches, high everything. So, really good athletes.
Oh, yeah.
Damn good athletes. But
without a doubt.
A lot of instability at the coaching level. You can transfer in season and be eligible to play season.
That's absolutely nuts.
So, hey, on a closing note, somber note.
Yeah.
You know, this time of year, there's things that happen with football that you always just like, you hear the story and you're like, something doesn't sound right. But there was a young man, don't know his name, passed away from Selma, Alabama, in a football game. Those are the things as guys involved in football, you hear it, and it makes you sick to your stomach, right? I don't know the details. It was a hit on a quarterback, and he ended up. It was a traumatic brain injury. But I'll go back to years ago when the Rams were here. We had remember when there was a full court press on head injuries in football, and there was a doctor that came in and was explaining, and it makes you feel good in one respect, but that does not alleviate what just happened, right? But it was usually with. Like traumatic brain injuries, there's like a couple different things that happened, and one of which is like a misdiagnosis, like they missed it, like back to back concussions, right? That's a problem. But then the doctor was saying that there's typically like the only thing that really like in these scenarios where you see like catastrophic issues is there's like a structural abnormality inside the skull that no one would know about until. The right hit at the wrong time, if you know,
mm-hmm.
Where it's like almost like barbed spikes on the bone, if you will, of the skull, and it's like
a freak accident.
It's one of those things where the doctor was like, you have to understand, you know, equated it more of like a bruising of the brain versus an actual like impalement from the structure of the brain,
right,
or a structure of the skull. So when I heard that, I mean, I remember thinking at the time like it really. Really opened my eyes because I didn't think that deeply into it other than just a concussion, right? Because we've all had them. But, you know, when you hear that, it makes you take pause and you feel really bad for the family. And there's apparently he was a junior, good kid, and just super sad. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, just I hate to end the show on a bad note like that. But
everybody,
with respect to what we're playing and what we're doing, it can happen in basketball. I mean, there's kids that drop dead on the soccer field.
Right.
It just it makes you understand and cherish those times. So you know what, like parents, don't take any of this stuff for granted. Kids, do not take any of it for granted.
Right.
Enjoy the moment. Live for the day.
Stay safe.
Yep.
Protect yourself
at all times.
Out there at all times. Do what you need to do, and hopefully we don't have to have any of that. Everybody's going to be healthy and safe after the start of this season.
Amen.
And we're going to wrap that up on that note. You know where you're going to be. You're going to be at any games.
I will be somewhere. I have not decided.
Okay. Undecided, Matt.
Do you know where you're going to be?
I do, but I'm not telling.
Ooh.
It's going to be a surprise. You'll find out. Follow me on social media right here. JP Rog MO to find out. JP Rog Scouts You. There's all our socials. There's Matt's socials as well. And, of course, all things Football 360, football360show.com. We've enjoyed ourselves. It's gone by too quick. Got a lot to talk about next week.
Amen. Hey, like, share, and subscribe to the show, though. If you're listening, we have a lot of people that do it. Share it with some of your friends that are in the football community, other parents in particular. We have a lot of parents that listen, a lot of kids and fathers, a lot of people go on their way to training or listening to this together, which we hear is pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Or going to practice, they're listening to it. We appreciate that. We greatly appreciate you listening to us because we love doing it.
Yep.
So again, shoot us a message if you want anything that you want us to talk about. Topics, we're open books on this stuff. We'll talk about any of it. So,
all right.
Now have a good one.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're out. We'll talk to you next week. Everybody, have a good one. Stay safe.